Are you guys gonna ring the bell? You guys gonna ring the bell?
Oh, no, you wanna ring the bell?
You can ring the bell, you can help me.
Okay.
Here today. Welcome everybody.
With some visitors.
All right, welcome. Glad to see you here this morning. So, a couple of announcements. First of all, Wednesday night prayer meeting. I encourage you to get on, whether it's the telephone or the Zoom, it doesn't matter. We'd love to have you join us, and we're usually done by 7:30, 7:45 at the very latest. So hopefully you guys can get on and pray with us. It's a good, just makes you feel good to be talking to the Lord. The food pantry is going to start being open on Wednesdays with after Gleaners, so from 11 to 12, they're going to start being open. And then starting on the first Sunday in November, they're going to open right after church from noon to 1. So they're encouraging people to come to church. So if you know somebody that needs help, be sure and encourage them to come and get some help and get some food. Also, we're going to try and do 5 baskets for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And they already have 2 families that they want to give to, so we need 3 more. So if anybody knows of a family in need, be sure and tell Helen or Sherry, yeah, either one of them, so we can plan on getting them a dinner for Thanksgiving and also for Christmas. So, and then also remind you, I'm going to start having shoeboxes out here, so I'm going to encourage you to get the things for shoeboxes. And I'm hoping to have them by the 1st of November, so. But you can start buying ahead of time. It's yeah. Okay. The Chosen for November, episode 7 and 8, is going to be on November 14th. And we'll have a simple potluck lunch, which has worked out really fine. It's a lot of fun, so I encourage you to come and enjoy that, too. It's been great watching the videos. So let's go to the Lord. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for being able to come and just praise your name. Father, we thank you for this house that we have to come and worship. We thank you for everybody that is here. And Lord, we lift up those that aren't here. We just ask that you bless them, encourage them, let them know that we love and care for them, Lord Jesus, and hopefully they will be back with us. Father God, we just give you praise as we sing these songs. We also give you praise in that we have Pastor Teresa here to share the word with us. So Father God, we just lift Pastor Teresa up to you, and I lift everybody that is listening. Just touch us, open our hearts, and speak to us, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand and go to our call to worship. Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion for you. Amen. All right, we get to clap today.
King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. He shall come with trumpet sound, glory, hallelujah. He shall come with trumpet sound, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. He shall come with trumpet sound, glory, hallelujah. He shall come with trumpet sound, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, still our breath. into the Lord in prayer. Do your prince despise, forsake you. Take him to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there. Like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
thank you.
bless the Lord, who reigns in beauty. Bless the Lord, who reigns with wisdom and with power. Bless the Lord, who fills my life with so much love. He can make a perfect heart. Bless the Lord, who reigns in beauty. Bless the
Good morning, and God bless you. At this time, we'll take our tithes and offerings. Father, Lord, thank you for the multitude of blessings you continue to give. In a world of uncertainty, you are the one certain investment we can make with our money, our tithe, our hearts, our souls, our minds. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Good morning, church. I got my helper again this Sunday. Say hi to Joshua. Yeah. We've come to that time where together we get to be a body and we get to share positives and we get to share some needs with each other. This world has both, but there's one thing consistent. That's God Almighty. Amen? Amen. So we can always come to Him. So I'd like to start us off this week in my classroom. One student that has needed so much support. Perfect scores a couple days on learning a new skill. So it's just been a blessing. It's been exciting. It's been so different than I've ever taught before. But when I leave it in God's hands, He knows how to encourage me to carry on. So thank you, Lord. Sarah's here today. Her knee's not hurting nearly as much as it was last Saturday, so that's a praise. And obviously a prayer request for Ted. I don't see him here this morning. He's not doing well still with his gut. And this last week was hopeful for some information. And yet, Lord, we continue to wait on you. We don't know how long we're going to have to wait. Lord, keep us faithful. Debbie, did you have any other updates for us? Okay. Okay. So Ted's home, throwing up today, not feeling well. Do I remember there was yet another GI doctor you were going to see still coming? There was one this last Tuesday, right? But there's not another one coming now. Oh, boy. So prayers for a virtual appointment coming up on the 9th. It's a long way away at this point. And for some imagery that's going to be done. So lots of prayer for Ted. I think he's in the hands of the Almighty now. Anyone else a need or praise to share? Jeff. Oh. So, so Jeff's asking for prayer for Maxine, a congregant in his church where he's normally pastoring. And she's 100 years old, 100 years strong, he says, and she's battling COVID and can hopefully win. Joshua. Your sister got stung by a bee? Okay. So prayer for Catherine, his next older sister, not oldest, Carolyn. Oh, no. We talk about shingles. Oh. Maybe some complications. Okay. So prayer for Dorothy, one of the hairstylists at Hair Designers in Forest Grove. Her husband suddenly died following a shingles vaccine and having other comorbid factors, other underlying issues, I think is what we call them, underlying conditions. Yes. So. Judy. And so, okay, Jim Cooper's cousin Lori's, no, Roger. Roger, okay. And the person that is affected is Lori. Okay, Jim Cooper's cousin Roger is the one that has cancer. Okay. Okay, okay. So prayers for Jim Cooper's cousin Roger, who has cancer, needs surgery, but his grandma is a bigger concern at this point. Okay, Teresa. So prayer for Teresa's mom, praise and prayer, praise that she's beat the infection and doing better, prayer that she can get to a rehab facility very soon, because that rehab facility needs to know about Jesus just as much as the hospital does. So praise God for that. Lord will prepare our heart to hear the story when she gets there, I have no doubt. He's preparing a place. Jeff. Travel mercies for Jeff and Joshua as they travel to Illinois. Jeremy. Say that again. Jeremy wants to pray for his co-worker's husband who was having surgery. Okay. He's saying that fresh water doesn't make us sick, and salt water can make us sick. And are we not coming to the source of all fresh water together now? Amen, right? Amen. Sorry, from the mouth of babes, I'm telling you. Right? Let us go together. Oh, Carolyn. So prayer for my sister-in-law, Carolyn's daughter-in-law, Rachel Marble, who's going to have a knee surgery soon. That goes well. No complications, no thrombosis, none of that. Yeah. Let us go together. Father, Lord, God, we are mindful also of Linda, who's not in our midst, Lord, and her ongoing health concerns as well. Lord, we lift her up in absence today. It seems a mystery what's going on with her. It seems a mystery what's going on with Ted. And Lord, as mysterious as your ways sometimes appear to us, you are still the almighty, eternal rock, unchanging, and we can stand on you through all these uncertainties. Lord, you've heard that there are many other people here struggling with cancer in their lives and relatives that are sick and healing. And Lord, you know all of those needs. We trust you to give wisdom to doctors as needed. Lord, we lift up Ted especially. He's not able to be here with us today, and that's not a good sign at all. We miss his presence here. Lord, be with Debbie. Sometimes she wonders, how much more can she take? And Lord, you are still, even now, her eternal strength. So Lord, I lift up her unspoken heartbreak. I lift up her unspoken heartache. And I lift her today before your throne. And all of us here together lift up Debbie, and we all say, so let it be, Lord Jesus. Encourage her, strengthen her for such a time as this. Yes, Lord. Lord, praises for time family has been able to visit and get schoolwork done. And Lord, prayers for safe traveling mercies for them as well. Lord, I pray for my sister-in-law, Rachel, and her upcoming knee surgery, Lord, that it go well, that it go standard as always, and there's no complications, Lord. And for my brother, Ken, that he's able to be a good provider, care provider for her, amongst still working, most likely. And Lord, I just lift up this congregation to you. Lord, continue to bestow your vision upon us for what you would have happen at Gales Creek, Lord, and how it will be, Lord, as we learn more about who you are, your very nature, your very character. Lord, I lift up Teresa right now, Lord, and the word that you're going to bring, Lord, let it pierce us to the soul, to our very hearts, like a double-edged sword, bringing your truth into our lives. And Lord, we lift up this nation and its leaders. Scripture commands us to pray for those who are leadership over us. And so, Lord, we do. Our bosses at our jobs, our judges over us, our legislatures over us. Lord, for the federal government that right now seems unguided, Lord, step in and become the guiding force in the hearts and minds of our governmental leaders, Lord, that it may go well in the land you have given us. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. You know, Pastor Jeff, I wasn't thinking about it. You should have been our guest speaker today, right? He should have been. We're not going to take the day off. What? That's what I was thinking. Welcome. We're glad to have you. And your son. It's so great to have family around. Lord bless you as you prepare to return back home to work and to school and being in your normal setting. Thank God for his word and thank God for the family of God. I'm excited today. Today we continue our journey to rediscover who God is, and we will discuss his attribute of love. Among the list of God's characteristics, one of the most important is his love. And it's because of his love, we not only exist, but we also have the opportunity to know him and to be in relationship with him. So we're going to look to scripture, and I'll be sharing from the first of the Apostle John's letters that were circulated to the churches. He writes to people who have experienced church splits over false doctrine. Now I know even today still church splits happen over a variety of things. Can you imagine? It even happened way back then. It's fascinating how we are as human beings. So that was what was happening. And when John was writing these letters, there had been some splits. People were fractured over false doctrine. And there were people claiming to be above the commandments, and they denied the incarnation of Jesus. So John writes to those who remain, the faithful few, in an effort to encourage them to stay the course and to remember the truth. And so when you come to 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8, he talks about the truth of our loving God. So I read to you, I share with you this passage from the New Living Translation. Again, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, he writes, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. And listen to this, what he says. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. Amen. So there's three things I want to cover about our loving God. First, we must acknowledge that God is love. And then second, that his love is unconditional. And lastly, that his love changes us. Now, I don't know if anybody knows the song that's connected to this particular passage of scripture. Maybe you learned it in Sunday school, or maybe you taught it to kids in vacation Bible school. Beloved, let us love one another. Does anybody remember that song? I know. So anytime I hear this verse, I'm always like, you know, I want to act it out and dance to it, because it reminds us that God is love. So let's start with this, who this loving God is. John reminds the saints of the church back in the first century, because that's when around the time that his letters were floating around, that Jesus indeed is the Messiah, and that he lived on earth, he died and was resurrected. He argues to the believers that they must continue to believe and live lives that witness to the world their belief. So he says to them, hey, you know these things to be true. Therefore, keep doing those things. Don't back out. This world that we live in needs you to witness what you know. So I'm going to start at the end of John's argument. He says to the churches, God is love. So point one, again, is this. God defines love. If you need an example of what love looks like, you need only to look to God himself. John restates God as the root cause of love in verse 16 of the same chapter, if you read further down. And he gives the example that we who believe in God experience his love. So if God were not a living God, we could not truly experience and understand the other characteristics of God. You understand what I'm saying? If we don't really understand that God is love, you can't really fully comprehend all of the other characteristics of God. Because God's love makes way for his patience, his long-suffering, his grace, his mercy, his justice, his righteousness, his holiness, his omniscience, his omnipresence, and his omnipotence. What would a God look like if he had all power and no love? That's a good word, Pastor Ivan. A tyrant. I'm in control. You're going to do what I say. And then if you don't, off with your head, like the Queen of Hearts. Right? Off with your head. He could do that. I know, for real. It could be that way. but he tenders all of his power, that Almighty God, who is, remember we talked about it before, him being beyond and so big and so vast, he tempers all of that with his love. Look at what Scripture says about our loving God. Psalm 36 says this, and I'm starting with verse 5. The psalmist writes, "Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths." You care for people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights. Verse 9 says, "For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see." Listen to that. This passage describes God's love. Listen to the words again. It says in verse 5, God's love is unfailing. What does unfailing mean? Anyone, what's unfailing? What's another word for that? Or an example? Say again, Sister Carolyn. Never gives up. Unbreakable. I like that. Stalwart. Oh, I like that word too. Makes me feel like a superhero. I feel 6'5". Stalwart. I love it. Why? Because it's not going to give up. It's not going to break. No matter what you throw at God's love, you can't break it. Always there. It's like, wow. So not only is God's love unfailing, but the psalmist also writes, it's vast as the heavens. I don't know if you've looked at the sky lately. I do that usually at least once a day. I'm always looking out and checking out what the weather is. And you know, when you look up at the sky, you do realize like the sky's like really huge. It's really big. It's like you kind of go, well, how far is west and how far is east? How far is north and how far is south? Because like it's everywhere, right? Whether it's nighttime or daytime. The sky is just so vast. And so the psalmist is saying, that's just how big God's love is. And it's even bigger than the heavens. It says God's love is precious. And that God is the fountain of life and the light that we need in our dark world. But then also, this is a beautiful passage because it gives just witness to what I was saying before. You can have all of the other characteristics of God, but if you didn't have his characteristic of love, those things would be hard. Because listen to what happens because of his love. Because he has unfailing love, the psalmist talks about God's faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Because of God's love, his righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Because of God's love, he is a just God. Because of God's love, he feeds us. Right? All because he loves us. And that's how he practices his omnipresence. That's why he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. Why? Because I love you. That's why. I am going to seek justice. Why? Because I love you, Sarah. Why am I doing these things? Because I love every single one of you. Now, this is a curious passage because the psalmist says, you don't only love the human beings, you love the animals as well. Isn't that fascinating? That's how deep and how vast and how precious God's love is. Because of his love, he provides for us. Now look at Psalm 109. This is also a good verse. Psalm 109, verse 26. Help me, O Lord my God. It's a prayer. Save me because of your unfailing, or in the words of some of you, unbreaking, never ending, always there, stalwart love. Save me, God. Why? Because you love me. So, and we have to go back to our main text for the lesson on how God's love is demonstrated toward humans. If you read 1 John verses 9 and 10, just right after 7 and 8, you see this. I'll read it to you. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. He says in verse 10, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Now see, this is a great passage for talking about true love, real love. Now, I almost was going to do an exercise on listing all the love songs, you know. Woo-wee. I know, that's why I didn't want to do it, because I'm like, oh, we'd be here all day. Because since you were a little kid, you knew songs about love, right? All the songs on the radio, every 5 seconds, it's a song about love. That's what human beings are obsessed with. Love, 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 love. But it's fascinating what the world says and how we define love as the world versus God's love. And John is saying, look at here, people. God's love is not like the love of the world. God showed just how much he loved us because he sent his Son to die for us. And not just to die, but he lived with us. The scripture actually uses the word tabernacled among us. He set up a tent and lived here with us, right? And this is real love. Before we even knew ourselves, God loved us. God is the beginning of true love and its source. And this is why John teaches that we have access to God's love, and also the Spirit of God helps us replicate God's love so we can share it with others. Without knowing God, one really does not have the ability to truly love others. And yeah, I know, you're thinking it already. You just said to yourself, yeah, but my neighbors around the way, they've been together just as long as the Marbles have, if not longer. I mean, you know, they still together after all those years. I believe that. Yes. And I will also say this. Their love is not God's pure, everlasting, unbreakable, stalwart, never going to end love. Because humans love each other with strings attached. Meaning, we love based on conditions. And so if you go and you ask that couple that's been together over 50 years, it's because, well, my partner does the things that I told them to be doing. Otherwise, I would have quit them a long time ago. Right? We have a list, even if it's an unspoken one. We have a list. I'll be with you as long as you don't cheat on me, as long as you keep a job with benefits. If you don't have a job with benefits, then you must be handy around the house. You don't gain too much weight, I can stay with you, or need serious medical attention. Of course, I probably wouldn't date you if you had a certain height, you know, because I have that requirement, or make a certain amount of money, or have a certain level of education. At least all these stipulations. And Lord bless the people who have prenuptials, because that's what it's all about. What do you think a prenup is all about? It's the condition. I'm only going to be with you if A, B, C, D, and E. Oh, but God's love isn't like that, people. It's not like that at all. He doesn't have this list of, well, if you live on the west side and on the third Tuesday of an even month in a leap year, then I'll love you. You don't have to read the fine print when it comes to God and his love. Human beings, oh, it's all in the fine print, Sister Carolyn. It's all in the fine print. And we, like, people as Christians, we're trying to act like, no, I don't have any fine print in my life. I love people. Ooh, okay, right. When they work your nerves, guess what's going to happen? Okay? Right? Keep it real. God ain't mad at you. He wants you to do better. Acknowledge it. Lord, whew, okay, these people getting on my nerves now. But see, God's not like that. He has no limit. He is boundless. And his love extends, as Scripture says, from generation to generation. You can't tire his love out. You cannot exhaust it. Everybody has their limit, but God does not. That's the beauty of God's love. There is no limit. So that brings me to my second point. God's love is unconditional. Just gave you a bunch of conditions of what I might want to love you as my partner. But God doesn't do that. God does not limit his love, like I said, to a certain group of people on a certain given day, only if they speak certain languages or live on certain continents. No, listen to this. His love is for everyone. Everywhere, at all times, and under all circumstances. You don't need to read the fine print when it comes to our loving God. Somebody ought to say amen. And hallelujah. Everywhere, every person, at all times, under all circumstances. His love is there for us. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, we call it the love chapter, right? It further illustrates what pure, unconditional, godly love looks like. Just briefly, just one section, verses 4 through maybe 7. Listen to how it describes love. Remember, this is God himself and how he expects us to act like him, because he's showing us the way. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love, this is for you, Sister Carolyn, never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endless through every circumstance. That's love. Not how the world loves. This is how God is. Doesn't demand its own way, keeps no record of being wrong. Some of us are petty like that, Sister Sarah. We'd be like, this is what happened on Monday. Mm-hmm. And then on Wednesday, another thing happened. And we just keep it in our little black book of why we don't like this person and that person. And Sister Helen did this. And Sister Susie did that. And it, really? Really? Jesus is saying, stop that. Stop that. Stop that. I want you to love like I've loved. Do what God has called you to do and be who he's called you to be. John 3. I know a lot of people like to focus on 16, but you gotta have verse 17. 16 and 17 go together. It shows us that God does not play favorites. You see, some people are like, yeah, but see, if you become a Christian, then God will love you. No, actually, that's wrong. It's incorrect. God loves everybody at all times under whatever circumstance. Listen to what John 3:16 and 17 say. Our loving God created a salvation plan for every human being. For this is how God loved the world. Again, this is John writing. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17 says, God sent his Son into the world. The world, that would be everybody. Not to judge everybody, but to save everybody through him. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Even God himself is one of my favorites. Wow. Romans 5:8 says this. This is Paul speaking, actually. But he's saying the same thing that John says. Verse 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So if someone says to you that God only loves those who love him back and are good people, God really only likes the good people, you point them to these passages and you tell them, not so. It's not that we are good and we love him. God is so good, he loved us first when we were not worth loving. This is unconditional love. It's not because you like me, so I'm going to like you back. No, that's not what God is doing. He's like, ain't none of y'all worth two dead flies. That's an old country saying. You ain't worth two dead flies. But guess what? God loves you anyhow. So it doesn't matter how good you try to get dressed up and look nice and get your hair all did, you know, doing like Sister Carolyn going to the beauty shop. Please, 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 please. Even if you didn't do those things, God still loves you. I know. I'm like, praise Jesus. Because, you know, I've been having bad hair days, Sister Judy. So, you know, come on now. I am not perfect. So thank God that his love is unconditional. Now, to my third point. God's love changes us, or at least it should. Why do I say this? Because God reveals himself to us so that we can know who he is and so that we can understand who we are and how we should be. God's not wasting his time just saying, oh, I'm good and I'm almighty and I know everything. No, he's not just doing that just to be doing that. He's doing it with a purpose so that we can know who he is. And now we can have a relationship with him. And so we become like him. Remember, I've said this over and again, way back, he created human beings in his image. And so as God reveals himself to us, he's expecting us to respond to the revelation. Oh, God is loving and he cares. So God is expecting us to be motivated by that and to change, to live a life that's glorifying to him. We should be motivated to respond to his love with acceptance and change our lives accordingly. Jesus taught his disciples just before he died and was resurrected that he expected their lives to evidence the change God's love brought to each of them. He says, you know, hey, you've been hanging out with me for a while now. I'm expecting some things from you. And they'll look at him and go like, what? What do you expect from us? Listen to what Jesus says to them. It's found actually in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. This is where you're going to find Jesus teaching a smaller, intimate group of disciples one more again before he goes to the cross. Verse 34. So now, I am giving you a new commandment, he says. Love each other. And this is the qualifier. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Verse 35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So Jesus says to them, we're not playing games here, people. If you claim to be my follower, then you need to love others just like I have loved you. So you can't act like the world. Well, I'll love you if you get me ready. I'll love you if you buy me a house. I'll love you as long as I'm your favorite person. But no, stop that. I need you to love everybody just as I have loved you. What is that? Unconditionally. That's what Jesus says to his disciples. And when you go back to the letter of John, he reminds the scattered believers of what Jesus said in his final lesson to the disciples. So let's revisit a greater portion of John's letter in chapter 4. So I'm going to go back and read over, starting at verse 7. Then we're going to read down to about 21. Okay? Listen to the word of God. Take notes. Highlight if you can. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. And we've said this before. Why? Because God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Verse 11. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we will live in him and he in us. Furthermore, John says, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. Verse 16, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. He says this again, verse 16, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Verse 17, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with the confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. You don't need to be afraid of God's wrath if you're loving and living for him. Verse 19, we love each other. Why? Because he loved us first. If someone says, oh, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. So I just had to give John some snaps right there. I'm like, for real though. There's a lot of people going around talking about they believe in God and they love Jesus, but you don't care nothing about the people around you. How is that? You're only nice to the people who you like. Really? Is that God's love? I'm shocked. Like, really? How is that? How can you live with your own self saying that you love God, that you are his child, yet you don't like the people around you and treat them like dirt? You would rather save a dog or a cat or go hug a tree and not take care of your neighbors. Really? You've got it all wrong. As John says, you are a liar. The truth is not in you. You can't claim to be a child of God and not love the human beings around you. You haven't even seen God. He's invisible to us. We experience him because of his Holy Spirit. We see him in nature around us. We haven't physically seen him. We don't get to go to lunch with God and hang out like we do our friends and our family. So he says, stop that. Don't say you love me and you don't like the people around you. Stop it. If you truly love God, his love is going to live inside of you. And this is why I love this passage, because John is saying, you're not doing this alone, because we are imperfect people and we will get mad at folks, Jeremy. That's what happens because we're human beings. People are going to upset us. We're going to get mad and we might walk away stomping. But because of God's Holy Spirit that lives inside our hearts, we're going to get over our anger. We're going to get over being upset. And because we love Jesus, we're going to go and try to make amends. That's what believers do. Why? Because we know that the God that we love and serve would do that very thing. Why? Because we've witnessed it. He loved us when we were still in sin. He provided a way back to him while we didn't know anything about him. So if we are truly motivated by God's love, we're going to do the same thing for the people around us. Now, after reading John's lecture, I know there's someone out there who might be feeling off the hook, because you might be watching us on Facebook streaming and you're going, oh, well, she's not talking to me because I love all the people who go to my church. We're good. So, newsflash, that is what John is talking about. Okay, he is specifically talking about those people who are believers. However, you have to continue to read the rest of Scripture. And when you read the rest of Scripture in totality, God doesn't just say, oh, by the way, love the people at your church. Love you. Okay, you also have to love those people who don't go to your church. Those people who don't actually name the name of God. Those people who probably use God's name as a curse word, right? Those people who, you know, right? Who actually work your nerves. And you're like, oh, see, because like me, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess now. At work, some people, Sister Lori, I'm like, oh, see, you try my salvation on today. You really trying to see if I'm saved, okay? Because, woo! But it's his Holy Spirit that helps me calm down, be loving, be kind, be patient. Pray for that person. Now, somebody might be saying, what are you talking about, Willis? I don't know. No scripture that says nothing about that. It's in there. It's in there. It's real easy to love the church folk. and real easy to love those people who are kind to us. It's really no big deal. But we have to take it a step further and love our enemies too. Oof. Listen to what Jesus says, because he actually wants us to love our enemies too, not just the people who are nice to us. Why would Jesus even teach something like that? Well, because again, he's expecting that you experience God's love, and that love then motivates you to act like God and not just love the nice people, but to love those others and extend love to those who are not so lovable. Jesus teaches in Matthew 5. It might be a very familiar passage to some of us, but go back and look at it again. Jesus in Matthew 5 says this: "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor." Oh, of course. "And hate your enemy." You don't have anything to do with those people. They're dead to you. "But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there in that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you have any kind, if you are only kind to your friends, how are you different from the rest of the world? Different from anybody else? That doesn't make you a believer of God, a follower of Christ." He says this: "Even pagans, even non-believers do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And what is Jesus talking about? Perfection. Perfect, pure, holy love. Unconditional for everybody at all times, everywhere, under any circumstance. Under any circumstance. I'm hoping you're inspired to act upon God's love for you. This is why he calls us to take care of the widows, the orphans, the foreigners in your land, those who are less fortunate. Why? Because God's love is oh, so good. And you can't just keep that to yourself. You're going to share it. Because the one thing about God's love, it never runs out. So even though you might physically get tired, just keep loving with the love of Jesus. Because there's going to be more. You're going to think, "Ooh, I don't have any more love." Yes, you do. Because of Jesus. Because of his work. Because of his Holy Spirit that lives in us. You can extend the love of God to all of those people around you, even the ones who are taxing your nerves at the moment. So, as we close, here's a reminder of our takeaways. One, God is love. He defines love, and he sets the standard. Two, God's love is unconditional. It's for everyone, everywhere, at all times. Thirdly, this, God's love changes us. God's love is so much, it's enough for us to make his presence known and desires for us to reach out and respond to him. That's what God's love does for us. It changes our hearts towards him and towards the human beings around us. We respond to his love. God's love is to be shared with those that we come in contact with. I want to conclude by quoting Paul in hopes that you will be inspired to live a changed life in response to God's love. Galatians 2:20. This is another letter that circulated among believers back in the day. Paul writes to the Galatians, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body, but trusting in the Son of God, who," what? "Loved me and gave himself for me." So Paul then turns around, loves others, and gives himself for others. My prayer is that we will do the same. Pray with me. Holy God, we ask that you would just light another fire in our hearts. We need to extend your love in this world. It is in desperate need of your love. There are many, many who do not know your salvation, who do not love your forgiveness. They don't know who you are, and it is our opportunity to show them who you are. And so we pray. We ask for forgiveness for failing. We ask for forgiveness for falling short. And we thank you because your Holy Spirit lives inside of us to give us the strength, to give us the courage, to give us the love that we need to love our neighbors and to pray for our enemies. We thank you, God. We lift up all of the cares that you heard earlier that we expressed, but we also lift up those things that were still in someone's mind and in their heart. They're carrying that burden by themselves. And we think about those who are watching on Facebook. Step into their lives, dear Jesus. Reveal yourself even there. And we thank you, God, for it. We thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to know you, and we bless your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. We have a song that we can close with, and then I'll come and we'll pray once more.
Going to stand and sing "Make Me a Servant."
Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me live.
Praise the Lord. That should be our prayer this week, that God would make us a servant to to love others as he has loved us. I want to extend an invitation to those streaming on Facebook. Reach out to us. You can go to the church website. You can send us an email. You can even leave a voicemail at church. We would love to connect with you. If there's a way that we can pray for you, we'd be happy to do that. So we ask that you feel free, reach out to us so that we can fellowship with you. And to my brothers and sisters in Christ here in the sanctuary, God be with you this week. Go in his grace and in his mercy and in his strength. Pray with me. Holy God, keep us until we meet again. Again, we ask that you reveal yourself to us anew. We pray for your Holy Spirit to work in us continually. And we lift up those who are still curious about who you are, God, who may not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. We lift them up to you that they may know who you are. And we thank you, God, for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you and God keep you till we meet again.